welcome Reverend Britt Hall.
Good morning. Are you ready to let go? Oh! Well, let us pray. You can't have too many affirmations. Let me see. Ladies and gentlemen, is how you let go. Because when you let go, you have to pick up something else. Otherwise, you can't really let go. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We always talk about letting go, letting go, let it go, let it go. You thought that was going to be sung today, didn't you? But children of God, that is simply how you let go. Because you have to let go of one thing before you can have another thing. And conversely, we don't let go until we reach out for what we want. Like, gotta have me some Buddha. Love those little bears, our little old antique Unity bears. I needed some Buddha today to keep me grounded. But we always want something, don't we?
Yeah.
Always. Always. I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that. We go through every day wanting that, whatever that is. Letting go is about reaching out for something else. Not just, boom, nature abhors a vacuum. It's about reaching out. Life is a continual process of letting go. And as a child of God, you are continually unfolding in a state of unfolding consciousness. Now, many of you know that I was just in Florida. So I'm still kind of catching my breath, kind of coming back. I was down there with my family to celebrate the life of my Uncle Brian, who was this amazing guy. Still is. He's just not on this side with us anymore. But he was such an amazing guy. He's the kind of guy that you just want to hang out with, have a beer with, or a margarita. He didn't like wine, so I would have wine when he had a margarita. But he was this really honest, this really fun, this really strong, mischievous, pragmatic kind of guy with a little bit of an evil twist. Just a little bit. He taught me so many things in my life. Like, he taught me how to water ski. He was a pro tennis player, taught me how to play tennis. And when we would go water skiing in the summer down at the lake house, he thought it was so funny to go. We would go pull, now this is Florida. Okay, there are alligators and water moccasins and critters of that sort in abundance. So Uncle Brian would think it was so funny to pull the boat through the weeds, water skiing, and slow down, and slow down, and slow down, until you're underwater like this, until you couldn't help but let go. And so I don't know how many years it took off my life waiting in the weeds for that 1 hour for him to circle back around with the boat. That's how long it seemed. But he was such a great guy, and it was such a wonderful thing to celebrate him. And one thing about Uncle Brian is, I told you, he's such a good guy. Every day that I knew him, and he was there when I was born, so every day he would ask his kids or his grandkids later in life, did you learn anything today? Did you learn anything today? What was it? And were you kind to someone? Isn't that great? As a role model, as a dad, as a granddad, did you learn anything today, and were you kind to someone? Now, before I was in Florida, I was in prayer with my peepee, my prayer partner. It sounds really wrong, but we've called each other peepee for years. Many of you remember Angela. And we were praying as Uncle Brian was really struggling at the end of his journey in the hospital about the releasing of his body. And because I was in that mindset of that field of energy where I grew up, this image came to me. And this image was, I grew up right in Central Florida, this little town below Orlando called Sebring in Central Florida. And so as kids, we would, you know, remember when all the Apollo missions started? Some of you don't, but that's okay, we're glad you're here. But most of you remember when all the Apollo missions started. And we would watch the TV and see when, you know, what the countdown was. And it was in this little town, it was just this ritual. Everyone that was home would run outside their home and wait in anticipation to see the rocket. We would look towards Cape Canaveral, and after a couple of minutes, we could see the rocket going up in the sky. And it was such a cool thing as a kid. So when I was thinking of Uncle Brian, and we were in prayer, and I had that image, I thought, wow, we're praying about him letting go of his body, knowing that he will do so at the right time, at the perfect time for him. And I thought about those Apollo missions, how they had to have that booster rocket to get to propel them up into space, to propel them upward. And at a certain very specific point in time in the journey, that booster rocket had to be released so that then it was done. Its job was done, And it had to be released so that space, so that capsule that the astronauts were in could keep going on the journey. So it had to be released. And I thought, God, what a great metaphor. Right? I mean, how many times have we in our lives held on to a booster rocket whose mission was fulfilled? Nervous laughter. Am I the only one? Yeah. I know I'm not, because you're here with me. So you've seen the simple little fun reminder of letting go, just letting go of things physically. But we talk about how to let go of things mentally and consciousness. And how do we do this? How do we do this? Denials are the mental form of letting go. And what are denials? I know a lot of you have taken classes, and I can see you. So what are denials? Anyone, tell me what a denial is.
Denying something has power.
There you go. Denying that something, not denying that something has actually happened in our experience, but denying that it has any power over us. Because in and of itself, nothing has power over us. Does anybody have a good example of a denial from your own life? Anybody? Nobody? None? Okay. I will get. Oh my God, speak up. Wait a minute, hold on. Check, check. Carol, Merrill, Daisy, Charles, thank you. Spontaneous audience question.
Hi.
Hey.
Denying that what happened to me as a child was bad, even though it was horrible, but putting it into perspective and doing a lot of the work around it, realizing that it all served its purpose for the highest good.
That is advanced.
I did a lot of work on it.
I know you did.
Years.
You had to.
Years.
If we had a prize, we would give it to you right now.
I would deserve it.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you a very personal example. For me, once upon a time, I was in a relationship, and this relationship had become really abusive, very verbally abusive, like rage-filled abuse. And the relationship was so deeply a part of my life that I felt like it was my life. Has anyone ever been there? I wouldn't stand up for myself in the abuse because I was afraid of losing it, the relationship. And I continually held it in prayer, continually held the relationship in prayer, praying for the healing of this person, knowing that there were mental issues that I thought could be healed. And for the healing of the abuse itself, of the situation, of the relationship. And there was one event where I finally had enough. Just one heinous moment where I said, I can't do it. And I stood up for myself and I said, no more, no more. I will not be spoken to this way. You will not speak to me this way. And then it continued. And it continued And I continued to say, no more. You can't speak to me this way. And I continued holding it all in prayer, being the good truth student, minister that I am. And I was so ignoring the answer I was receiving. Has anyone else ever done that? You prayed for something, it's like, God, that's not what I, no, you didn't get the right message. So, but I just knew that if I kept praying diligently, I had that power, that faith, that belief to heal the situation. But it only became worse until what I wouldn't do was done for me. The relationship came to an end, and as many things happen in these situations, it was a really ugly end. And I was forced to let it go. I was forced to let it go because what I wasn't doing was done for me. And I was devastated the way the end of the relationship happened. And I know some of you understand this, but look at us. We're here. We're still standing. Well, sitting, actually, but we're here. So as I look back on this situation, I realized that when I reached that point of having enough, no more, no more, I didn't carry through with the second part of that. There was no consequence. There was no, if you continue, this is what I will do. Because I was only halfway there. I was only halfway through the fear. So I kept praying, the healing was the end of the relationship, and I was doing everything I could do to avoid that outcome. So this situation felt like it had power over me. Circling back to denials, denying the power, it really felt like it had power over me, but I knew it didn't. I knew it just really, really felt like it did. And I knew better than to even attempt to bypass what I was going to have to go through. Because you know when you skip that part and they show up in somebody else's body later, like magic? I'm like, no, not no, but hell no. When I said no more and it was finally done for me, I'm like, I got it. I got it. Now I'm willing to go through it. I was willing to go through the process of letting go. So to gain the peace that I was so craving, what I had to let go of was the chaos. It's like letting go of one thing as we go toward what we want to replace it. The only way I could get to peace was to let go of the chaos. And I will say that sometimes in my life, to let go of that chaos, I have had to use my power of elimination to remove someone from my contact list, or otherwise known as blocking them. So I had to take that action. Now, how do we let go of a resentment in the process that we're going through? The resentment, the unforgiveness. How do we go through that? By turning to God, to love, to joy within. By going within and asking God to tell me what to think of this situation. Because I know that there are blessings, and sometimes the revelation of those blessings are instant. Sometimes it takes a little longer for them to unfold, but I knew that there were blessings because I knew that this was a part of my journey. But what we have to do, take a breath. We have to pray for joy for all people, without exception. Doesn't that just suck? to pray for all people, all people, all people. Does anyone ever watch the news? Good for you if you said no. For the rest of you, all people. So another once upon a time, I had a really close friend, and she shall remain nameless, Mariah. We were really close for a while. Everyone says, Mariah Carey? I'm like, no, but I did actually go to a Broadway show one afternoon to a matinee with Mariah, and Mariah Carey came in and sat on the other side of me. True story, swear to God. And Mariah Carey has the biggest feet. I know she's not watching on Facebook, hey. But it was summer, it was July, and she had on sandals and she had electric trousers. I'm like, oh my God, she is Sasquatch. She has feet as big as mine. So anyway, I digress. But Mariah and I were really, really good friends. And we were helping each other through a rough time. And we almost were like this, we were this pretend couple. She would work situations. We would go to a restaurant or we would go someplace. And it was so out of integrity that she would let somebody lead them to believe we were on some kind of celebration of some honeymoon or something like that. And we would just get free things. And she was a very devout Christian. So during this rough period, that's around the time that I found my way to Unity. I found my way to Marianne Williamson. I found my way to Unity. And I mean, I had Marianne Williamson, we're talking about the early 90s. I had Marianne Williamson cassette tapes to the point that friends of mine said, do I need a library card to borrow those? Because I had so many just plugged in. And one Friday or Saturday, Mariah had spent the night because we were a pretend couple. And I was making breakfast the next morning, and I put a Marianne Williamson tape in. And her personality went like an altar came out of her. She was dressed, she was ready to go, and she was so upset to be listening to Marianne Williamson, who is apparently the bride of Satan. And she had already read up on Unity, this cult called Unity, and what they believe and what they do. And I was stunned. I was hurt. I was stunned. I wanted to go back into my old stuff of, oh, it's okay, I'll turn it off. I won't do this. And I was like, hail to thee, no. I have spent my life looking for this, to find my path, what resonated with me, my belief system. And so it was a really odd thing that happened that day, but the instant lesson I got out of that is, if I stand in judgment of how judgmental she is being, I'm going to just keep perpetuating the situation. I'm just gonna keep it going like a snowball, just keep giving it life. And I knew I couldn't do that. And that was a tough letting go, because she still wanted to come around, and I still stood my ground and my new faith and my belief system that I had found. And it made me think, when I was thinking about that story, it made me think of how it's so common to have duality. Isn't it? It's just so, no matter what we know, it's so common to have duality. And then we come together on a Sunday, or we come together in a class, or we'll do our work, and we'll go, there is only one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, God the good, and there's Donald Trump. Oh my God! Oh my God, I'm not naming names. But, and then there are these heinous things going on in the world around us. How can there only be one presence and one power? Well, there is. It's either true or it's not true. Evil is not a power in and of itself. Evil is a behavior of someone who's really gone off course. But that's how we let go of duality. We come back to that first unity principle. And the same thing with prosperity. If I want to experience my prosperity, I've got to let go of my lack. Sean loves to talk about that. Because if we are in lack, it is serving us somehow as a safe place, because it's a familiar place. Oh my God, what might happen if I got what I wanted? But I really want it, but what might happen? So we've got to be able, if we're going to accept our full prosperity in our lives, to let go of that lack. And it's not a one-time thing. You all know that. It's an onion. But it's like with the prosperity, the giving and receiving. It's the law of reciprocity. You cannot receive if you're not giving, and vice versa, you cannot give if you do not receive. It's a psychological urge. And you can't give or receive with a clenched fist, right? You can't. I love that the word tightwad, tight and tightwad literally means clenched fisted, close fisted. Give, receive, the flow. So what are you wanting to let go of in your life? What are you wanting to let go of? Myrtle Fillmore had to let go of her thoughts and belief in sickness to be able to take on the new thoughts of healing her body. When she was given that diagnosis of that terminal, get your things together, you got a little bit of time left, that diagnosis of tuberculosis back in the late 1800s, when she got that diagnosis, she changed her mind. And she healed herself. I mean, she was committed. Committed on a daily basis, and it took a couple of years, to seeing everything in a new way, to taking on new thought after new thought, to letting go of those old thoughts and those old beliefs. And we are all sitting here today because of that. Because that woman did that. What are you willing to let go of where you have no idea how far out the impact could go? You have no idea how far that impact can go. I love that Rumi, the Sufi mystic and poet, said, make like a tree and let the dead leaves drop. Isn't that great? Make like a tree and let the dead leaves drop. It gives whole new meaning to the old fifth grade joke, make like a tree and leave. But to everything there is a season. Ayanna Van Zandt said, release and detach from every person, every circumstance, every condition, and every situation that no longer serves a divine purpose in your life. Because all things have a season. And all seasons must come to an end. So choose a season filled with purposeful thoughts and activities. I release and let go of patterns, thoughts, and beliefs that no longer serve me. I release and let go of patterns, thoughts, and beliefs that no longer serve me. But remember, you can't just release it without going to something else. That's only half of it. The awareness is half of it. It's like monkey bars. Remember monkey bars on the playground when we were kids? The only way to get to the next bar was to release the one you were holding on to. Otherwise, you couldn't move forward. You would hang on in fear until you just dropped. I recently read a post that said, this was somewhere on Facebook or online somewhere. It's not important, but this post, I loved it because it said, I'm 80 years old and reprogramming my life. No time to stand still. There is so much to live for. Life is about constantly moving on. And we have to be willing to let go of the life we have planned to have the life that is waiting for us. Are you willing? Are you willing to have the life that is waiting for you by letting go of the life that you have planned? To unclench your fist. Uncle Brian, letting go of his body when it was his time to let go, as we all will one day, reminds me of our good buddy Martha Creek, who says, honey, we all have a shelf life. We're all gonna die. Can we just get that out of the way? And I love that Deepak Chopra said, in the process of letting go, you will lose many things from your past, but you will find yourself. So in the coming week, I'm going to invite you and challenge you to take time every day to consider what you're willing to let go of. What's time has come. If you would close your eyes for just a moment and take a breath. And as you're breathing, let your breathing get deeper and drop from your head to your heart. Tap your heart space if you need to. And from that space, think of a situation in your life, from your heart, that you're ready to release. Something in your life that is not serving you for your highest and best. Just allow it to be revealed. Don't force it. Just trust the revelation. It's a divine revelation. It might surprise you. And just allow it to be there. And then allow the revelation of what you are willing to replace it with. I know that the fact that I am asking you this question right now, in this place, in this moment in time, means you already know. You already know. Or you wouldn't be here today. So simply be with that. What is it you are willing to release in order to gain what it is you desire? The Christ within extends perpetual forgiveness and release. And the monkey mind that can be so busy with hurt feelings and reproach sets aside its turmoil now to remember the priceless and only needful thing to be still. To be still in love-graced listening to the divine answers that are within you. need to be still and let God love me. I need to be still and let God love me. When this old world starts to push and shove me, I need to be still and let God love me. Deeper as you allow the chair to hold you up. Is there anything in your life that seems out of control? If so, it's time to let God handle it. Whether an emotional upset, a mental block, a physical challenge, a relationship problem, the solution for each is to let God handle it all. Let God handle it all. And we begin this process of healing right now by taking whatever this burden may be, taking it to that place of willingness. I'm willing to let go and let God handle it all. I'm willing to let go and let God handle it all. As you relax your entire being, as much as you're able to, just affirm within you, just take in these words, that I acknowledge that there is a presence and a power beyond my understanding. This presence and this power is ready to work through me as I let go. I know that of myself, I can do nothing, but with God, all things are possible. Thich Nhat Hanh says that most of our feelings and emotions arise from narrow perceptions and from incomplete understanding. Our ways of looking and listening, reacting, and judging is what makes us and our loved ones suffer. We have ideas about happiness and suffering that can be so difficult to let go of. Though we know that by letting go of them, we'll be happier and more peaceful in body and in mind, and the painful feelings and emotions would no longer have a need or a basis to arise. We tend to think that if we let go, we'll lose the things that make us happy. But the very opposite is true. The more we let go, the happier we become. Letting go doesn't mean we let go of everything. We don't let go of reality. But we let go of our wrong ideas and perceptions about reality. So as we take a moment in the silence, remind yourself quietly, again and again, I am willing to let go and let God handle it all. When I feel that I'm falling, know it's time to just be still. I need to be still and let God love me. I need to be still and let God love me. When this old world starts to push and shove me, I need to be still. I need to be still. I need to be still. Let God love me. And so it is.